This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Good morning, Metroplex. We have reached the hump day edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station live on 105.3 The Fan. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to everyone for filling in yesterday out with the medical appointment for my little girl. But here to get us towards Thanksgiving as quickly as possible. I guess we'll start with just some of my leftover quick review of the debacle, another home debacle. And I just wrote down in no particular order, and I almost texted you this morning, Bobby, and said post-hunt clarity may have to go bye-bye. I don't know if there's a point anymore in moving forward and rewatching and
there's
reviewing
one positive.
This.
There's a big positive that we'll take from it later on.
Okay. There big positive.
Yeah, there's a big positive.
That's at 7:20. Mike McCarthy said that they're not coaching offensive linemen to run with the football. Could have fooled me. More maddening O-line recovery with what Guyton did. I was yelling and screaming and cursing him, and then he gets hurt on the play with the shoulder. So that was stupid from Tyler to try to do that. The field goal that they took off the board with the 64-yarder, I was joking when I tweeted, anyone else think that they should have just kept the points on the board? You obviously take the 15-yarder. You try to go down the field. You try to score a touchdown. The big debate comes with the 4th-and-2 decision. I understand Mike McCarthy's like, look, we're not going to get down here very often. We have to try to score points. If you wanted to kick it right there, I'd be totally fine with that as well. The fake punt. I've been trying to come up with a way to compare what the Dallas Cowboys draw up in these circumstances to an analogy, and I came up with my flag football team in college. We did
what was
not
your team name.
I don't remember. Maybe ATO. That was the fraternity.
Well, an ATO.
Yes, rest in peace over there at that charter. Don't look up some of that information from back in the day. And don't read it out loud. That was past my time. Past my time, but I think we got it kickstarted with the beginning of the end with that charter dead and gone over there. We didn't have like a true football guy on the team who played in high school and had X's and O's knowledge. And that's what the Cowboys look like when they draw up these types of things. It's like they don't have a true X's and it's like we're going to try a fake punt. We're just going to do it. And I saw Wanya Thomas say, yeah, it was my call. I don't regret the call. I regret the execution. But that's what the Cowboys look like in any of these type of Belichick Vrabel scenarios when there's something extra to be done or creative. It's never schemed out right. It's like us in college trying to come up with a fake punt but having no idea what read to look for or what signal to have.
So I told Bobby this yesterday. There's no way. Obviously, they practiced this. Right, they went through this fake punt. I would say more than a couple times in practice during the week. Obviously, right? You're not gonna they know going into the week what they're gonna do. There's no way that they practiced this. And Bobby said they probably did it against air, which they probably did. But There's no way that they practiced this and they saw Anger throw and they said, you know what?
Yeah.
He's got a good arm. Yeah. Nobody thought that he, like there's, like, put some zip on that thing. Why are you just floating that out there? It's like he's trying to hit one in ring toss at the fair.
Yeah.
Just floating that out there. There's no way that nobody saw that arm and said, dude, you got to throw a little harder.
It all just looks, it doesn't look well put together. It doesn't look coordinated.
I get a lot of times people think I'm being dramatic when talking about McCarthy or describing certain things and like, oh, he's being over the top. I mean this with all sincerity. It's a team that looks like they don't practice. It's a team that looks like, I think it is a team that does not practice nearly as much as other teams do. McCarthy prioritizes health and, like, let's not burn these guys out and let's not use them up to the point that they are not getting in the practice reps that other teams do. And it shows pretty consistently where it's like, how do you not have really basic details down?
The thing that's weird about that, and I agree with you, but the thing that's weird about that is, like, and I know to a degree Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, when they're commentating and talking about other teams, have to be nice. But Belichick a couple times has, like, gone out of his way to say, McCarthy's a good coach. McCarthy's a good coach. Everyone always tags on the Super Bowl. No one's doing that, by the way, for Doug Peterson these days. No one says, that's a Super Bowl winning coach there. Doug Peterson just didn't forget how to coach. We always do it with Mike. It's kind of funny how that works.
And Doug did it with a whole bunch of backups. He did it with a backup quarterback. That's a better coaching job all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yes. And then the vision I'm not going to be able to get out of my mind from that game is Zach Martin down on one knee. That's going to be burned into my mind until Zach Martin, you would think, after this year, steps away and retires. Just down on one knee, Troy Aikman commentating the beginning of the end. It felt like just shaking his head. I cannot go. Frustrated, talking to the trainers, and then limping off before all the other offensive linemen drop like flies. So those are the main things I had written down from another debacle. And the armpit is just, they had this saved up for a year, their social media team. They have not stopped. I know you all talked about the L with the sheet metal flying down. The Bart Simpson.
By the way, that's A+.
That's amazing.
They've had some real victories. Honestly, their social media team looks better than their football team. That football team doesn't even look that good right now, and they beat you by 24.
What was the Simpsons thing?
It's a meme that's existed on the internet for a long time. It's the say the line, and then Bart just kind of defeated, almost like says whatever his catchphrase is, and then everybody celebrates and they said it.
And the Texans Twitter account is like, say it, Bart, and he goes, we them boys, and the whole classroom starts laughing
with the little Cowboys hat on Bart. It sucks. You're the laughing stock. You're the laughing stock, and you're the
Dalton Schultz with the coffee.
Oh my gosh.
What's the coffee thing? Was that just him waking up in the morning?
Yeah, and it's just when he pours it illuminates the Houston Texans are the best team in Texas. Then he takes his little sip and does his eyebrows, and it's just you are just,
CD said it. We're the laughing stock. People are trying to embarrass us.
They are. This is where things have reached for them, and it's just the thing I can't stand. And again, not to kick Mike too much, but the thing we were talking about yesterday that I'm getting really tired of hearing in post game is Mike talking about all these things that, well, wish we could have done this. It's like, you're in charge of that. You're in charge of Trey Lance getting in and played. You're in charge of running the ball more. You're in charge of all these things that you tell us you want to do during the week, and then post game you're like, why couldn't we do that? Why didn't we draw that up? I don't know. You tell me. You're drawing it up.
I wonder about that, because it's like it makes sense that you are in charge. Then you look at baseball. The manager's not in charge of who plays that day necessarily. And I wonder how much of this is organizational, that because even Jerry told us, like, he's not ready. We're trying to win.
I don't think that Jerry would be opposed to Trey Lance getting in there. Like, Brian Anger played more snaps at quarterback than Trey Lance. That's not acceptable.
That's true.
It's just not.
Mike commented on a lot of these disasters on the fake punt. He said they won the chess match there. That was a poor call by us. On the 4th-and-2, not kicking the field goal at the Houston 8. You can't have it both ways. We're trying to play it exactly right, managing the game. 14 play drives. We needed 7 points there. And then the Tyler Guyton thing, we're not teaching offensive linemen to carry the ball. We need to fall on it.
I will say, I wonder how much that sits well with guys, though, in the locker room, while things are starting to go sideways, that there is a tendency to other eyes a little bit and point and go, that was a bad call there. It was Wanya Thomas's call. Boy, Tyler Guyton, you got to fall down. And all the Tyler Guyton thing is a legitimate criticism, but when all the accountability is on the calls or the decisions made by the players instead of the decisions you make, like, I think that is something that probably frustrates guys a little bit.
Mike Zimmer yesterday was just talking about all the injuries. He's like, I think if we had people, I want to see how the Mikes start campaigning for their jobs in the offseason.
Oh, they're in CYA mode already.
Zimmer is doing it, talking about all the injuries, all the people lost. You know, McCarthy said he has not considered giving up the play calling. How is that not a even discussion that has come up? It's like, I'm going down with the ship. Maybe he thinks he can show something off to other teams with backups. But the campaign 2025 has to start for the Mikes.
It does. I mean, and Parcells talked about this. He's always said this. You know, coaches will go into CYA mode sometimes even before the players do. You know, sometimes even before the players do, because the players are still, they're trying to put good tape on there.
And then all the humiliating stats that follow up. Every baseball, and RJ, you have a lot of these. Every NBA, MLB, NFL, and NHL team has won at home this year, except for the Dallas Cowboys. ML Football or Dove, one of the great aggregators, came up with this information on their own that the Saints have scored more touchdowns this year in Arlington than your football team.
Are you embarrassed?
Great job by ML Football. They're fantastic. They're not a bunch of putzes over there. Awesome.
How do you know that they stole that from you?
Because literally, it's nobody's tweet that it gets
you
sent
were the
out.
One who put, came up with that.
Yes, Choppy and I did in the middle of the like segment. We were coming up with it on
the
air.
We thought it was the Lions. Initially, we thought it was the Lions. Was like
that's the whole thing. We went and looked at all this, and then we tweeted it, and then it blows up. And then 3 hours later, yeah. ML Football tweets it. Okay, all right, ML Football.
And I said
see
it's
you.
Like the radio version of you guys. When I make a point, you just conveniently forget.
By the way, great call by you. Very close game between the Texans and the Cowboys.
No. Go back and listen. And I said, I feel like it played out exactly, actually, like I said.
It actually did.
I said it would be closer. And then I did pick a double-digit win for Houston. But it was closer in the first half, which led Micah and Diggs to go on their podcast. I'm like, we're still a damn good team.
Is this after the club?
That's a good point.
In the club.
So that is Lamb and Diggs apparently filming their music video.
Right.
Afterwards, with a setup,
is it a Mike McCarthy diss track? Is that what the song is?
Listen, it looked like they had a
Zuckerman in there.
They had a good camera setup. The lighting was what was really well done.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's gonna look good.
So we talk about this a lot, right? These events after games. Jerry, is he gonna go out for a birthday dinner? He told us no after the Lions game. And Choppy, I know that your stance is you don't care at all. My stance on this is always, if I was the coach, I would tell him I don't care. But just be prepared for the backlash and the optics. Mm-hmm. If you can deal with what's coming for you on Twitter, just be prepared for it. You're gonna get the backlash. Be ready for it because they obviously got a film crew and they pre-scheduled and you're probably not going to cancel in the fourth quarter. I know Diggs is checking his phone in the locker room so he could text right after and say, it's a no-go. We got destroyed. We can't do it tonight. Although you would think that they know in the back of their minds, we're going to lose again. So let's not go ahead and film. And whose music video is this? But that would be my thing to the players. You can do it. I understand you have socialized, but I don't want to hear you complaining about the backlash because the backlash is coming with the optics going back to Witten and Romo and Cabo.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, and it is gonna hit. You know, there is no doubt the backlash is gonna come to all these players when they do something like this. But this is not unique to the Cowboys. I mean, a lot of teams and a lot of players around the league around all the leagues
filming music videos.
Not necessarily filming those, but you know, having birthday parties after games and like you know, the birthday is the birthday. Your life does not stop. It goes on. Players, professional athletes are far more, I think, accustomed. NFL, maybe not. But like a baseball player, I mean, you're used to losing 60 games a year. You've got to be able to deal with losses.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing. I it's probably just reached a point where they're like, we're out. Like if this is a 500 team or they're closer, like I wonder if it hits as hard for them, whereas they're just kind of like, yeah, we lost again. We're this is already going sideways. I'm not going to just stop life after every one of these losses.
I can't wait for the song to come out for, you know, you and Choppy to replicate it. Have you guys be Lamb and Diggs on the diss track.
I remember at, so back in the, maybe 04, 05, there was that young Rangers team, the core of like Blaylock and, you know, Michael Young early on and Mensch. You go now those, it wasn't necessarily those guys, but you go to that Fox and Hound in Arlington after a game, I mean, they would show up, about 10 of them would show up, just start shooting pool. Win or lose, they were there almost every night.
Wasn't that where Josh Hamilton was at? Was Fox and Hound
that one time?
That Sherlock's, that's where it was.
Micah Sherlock's. Did not talk, by the way, afterwards. And he didn't talk last week either. So two straight weeks after saying, damn, y'all, I'm just going to eat the fine for now because the way y'all twist words and flip them around for content is nasty work. That was after the interview with Yahoo Sports about Mike McCarthy can go somewhere else. So Micah is following up and eating the fine, not talking for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, he had a big group with him post-game walking around the hallways. So, I mean, he was... He hung around. It's not like he just left. He didn't want to talk. In fact, I don't know. I think it was his brother. I think it was Terrence or one of them was yelling down the hallway for a good 30 seconds over Jerry's comments in the hall, and we were almost missing him. So,
did Luka respond defensively, and did the Mustangs get their respect throughout the country? The latest college football playoff rankings and the Mavs still in the cup. Next on Sean and RJ, it's a hump day edition for the 6 a.m. Club right here on 105.3 The Fan.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
What happened last night in the college football playoff ranking release? Well, the top five remained identical. Oregon, number one. Texas is the 2 seed. Miami is the 3 seed. Now, these are not the same. But their top five ranking, the regular ranking. This is the bracket. The bracket and the ranking are two different things. Okay, so this is the bracket. Oregon 1, Texas 2, Miami 3, Boise 4.
Boise State 4.
Could you imagine that? Now, the question is, if you're Boise State, you know, do you want, would you rather have a home game, right, and play in the first round and get the recruiting and get the revenue when you're Boise, right? Boise doesn't have the same TV contracts that Texas might have. So you would get the revenue of the gate at home and you'd be able to host recruits.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. You'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Or you get a bye to the second round, play in maybe the Peach Bowl at a neutral site and then be the sacrificial lamb to Ohio State. You know, which would you rather be? That's the predicament that they're going to be in.
Second round.
Yeah, second round.
Get to the second round?
Yeah. Yep.
So that's what they're going to be. So they're going to be the 4 seed. The 5 seed sets up as Ohio State as the 5 against BYU as the 12. BYU took a tumble. BYU dropped 8 spots. They went all the way down to 14 because they lost to Kansas. And this was really their second straight kind of game. So BYU takes a tumble. Penn State will host Georgia if this were to start today.
6-11.
6-11. Indiana would host Ole Miss as the 7-10. And then Notre Dame would host Alabama as the 8-9. Mm. The first team out would be Tennessee, and then SMU right after that, and Texas A&M right after that, along with Colorado and Clemson as other teams on the bubble.
Paul Feinbaum and Lane Kiffin, man, they have an uncomfortable relationship. Lane the other week again was like, thanks, Paul. Appreciate you again getting me fired from USC. So thanks to all the Ole Miss props that you're giving us. What is this scenario that Lane Kiffin is questioning?
All right, so this is, and a lot of coaches are questioning this. And these coaches, I mean, just, you know, just read the directions here, coaches. That's all I got to tell you, this one. They're saying, do we really want to play in the SEC championship game? Ole Miss is a two-loss team. All right, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, they're two-loss teams. Texas, one loss. Maybe two after they play A&M. Do they really want to play in the conference championship game? Because what happens if they lose? What happens if they lose that game? And I can't believe Paul Feinbaum on ESPN yesterday is falling into the same trap.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey told me last week, it should be a reward to get to the championship game. But the bad news is it is not. Kirby Smart last year had an undefeated regular season. He went to the championship game, lost to Nick Saban, and got knocked out of the playoffs. So, yes, it's what Lane Kiffin said is correct. You'd rather not go there. But the problem is you don't have a choice in the matter. There's going to be a tiebreaker, and you get in based on a number of tiebreakers. But the situation for Kiffin could be very dangerous. Here's why he doesn't want to go, because if he goes with a 10-2 record and loses, he is probably going to get knocked out because he has a loss to Kentucky, which is extremely bad. So it doesn't matter whether you want to or not. You better win the game if you go, though, if you end up with 3 losses, because you're very likely going to get knocked out.
And Paul's just an idiot.
And so you're saying that Lane Kiffin and Paul Feinbaum are idiots. Yeah. RJ Choppy has it figured out.
Absolutely.
Okay, how so?
The Big Ten championship game loser and the SEC championship game loser is 1,000% going to the playoff. Now, he brought up Georgia last year. That was a 4-teamer. That's a different story.
Yeah.
It's a different story. If you lose the SEC championship game, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to protect that game. If the championship game loser doesn't go, then there's no advantage to going to that game. And the league is going to cancel that game. That's a massive moneymaker to both of these conferences. Again, massive. It's free money. Owners of professional sports will tell you, playoff games are free money. I don't have to revenue share. I don't do any of that stuff, right? It's free. Same thing with this. They're going to protect the game, because the moment one of those two conferences has a team left out that lost that game, they're going to revolt and refuse to have that game anymore. So they're 1,000% protecting that game.
And they're always going to love the SEC. They're always going to be big fans of the
SEC.
Obviously
not. They love the Big Ten more, it seems.
Tell that to Miami.
Bama's a big mover.
Yeah, Bama moves, beating up on Mercer, gets to move above Miami, which is...
But that's Miami's already a top 14.
They're a top 14, but still, they're still telling you Bama's... They're valuing more what Bama's done as a team that's really struggled for a good chunk of the season.
They played a better schedule. That's the thing, you know. And the committee
and
has
struggled.
The committee did ignore Ole Miss's Kentucky loss. And what they're showing there is they're valuing wins over penalizing losses.
Did y'all player talk about this kid who made the with the $800,000 kick?
We did not.
This is Henry in Indiana. McAfee, this is a really cool thing. I don't know who's paying this. It's McAfee's name on the check, but every Saturday during game day, they line up a kid to make some cash.
800,000 racks, 400,000 to hurricane relief, 400,000 to you two split, 200 grand each. Henry Silver from Indiana for Bell Sessions. Let's go, Henry!
Crushed it.
Awesome.
Crushed it.
He has Brandon Aubrey.
Brandon Aubrey misses.
Not when he slips.
Yeah, when you just lay down turf from 2 days earlier. This went better than the last Indiana fan, because we didn't even talk about that one from about a month ago. You didn't see it, but they talked about it. This kid was warming up to kick for McAfee 3 weeks ago when they went to Bloomington, and he tore his knee. He couldn't do the kick. And so they're like, well, we're not going to be able to do the kick. This kid tore his knee, so...
Bobby, we had a little slippage, a little subconscious slippage, Freudian at A&M, talking about your Longhorns.
I love it. I love it. Mike Elko can talk all he wants and say, we're not even concerned with Texas. We worry about our own. Really? Well, it seems like you had a little bit of a Freudian slip. You really exposed what was top of mind. Mike Elko yesterday was asked about, hey, aren't you guys focusing a little bit too much on Texas potentially and not enough on Auburn this weekend?
I don't think it's an issue. I think when you're in the situation we're in, it's easy to focus on the task at hand. You know, I think, you know, those big games earlier in the year, you know, maybe you look ahead. If we didn't have at stake, what's at stake? Maybe you would worry about it. I think our focus is single-handedly on Texas. On Auburn right now and locked in on what we got to get done.
Oh, man. It's going to be tough night, Jordan Hare.
You know what would have been, you know what I was really hoping for, though, was Mike Elko to at least have some self-awareness and joke about it, because he looked stone cold right after he screwed up.
Yeah.
I wanted him to go, I guess, forget everything I just said.
A&M loves their little t-shirts that they make. Well, the Longhorns need to make t-shirts saying focused on and then have Texas scratched out with Auburn underneath it.
Especially if A&M loses. If A&M wins this game, then it's like, whatever, it happens. But still, it's still a fun shirt to make, because it does show that you're in their heads. Now Texas was a big talking point last night on the schedule on the playoff release, because if Texas does lose to A&M, they're put in a predicament now with a bunch of two-loss SEC teams, and Texas doesn't have, like, all those other SEC teams have a good win. Ole Miss beat Georgia. Georgia beat Tennessee. Tennessee beat Alabama. Alabama beat Georgia. Right, so they all have a win. They all cannibalize each other. Texas doesn't have that. So what would the committee do with the two-loss Texas that gets lumped in there? Like, that's why this is a massive, massive game for the Horns.
Sorry we beat the hell out of a couple of ranked teams and sent them into a spiral for their season, like Michigan and Oklahoma. I'm sorry that we were the domino that pushed that over. Jop, what do you want from us?
The return of Luka Doncic last night against the Pelicans for the cup.
Robinson Earl made a couple of early threes, but the well's dried up for him since. Deep three, pull up! Bingo!
Hey, and WFAA hooking it up with the broadcast, Channel 8. Luka comes back, and he scores 26 points. The Mavs early on blowing out the Pelicans, and they were really, really balanced. You sit there and you look at the box score, and it was basically 10 or 11 points apiece for Kyrie, for Luka, for Klay Thompson. Klay ends up 5 of 9 from 3 for 19. Kyrie has 18. Najee has 15 off the bench. You get double-digit scoring from Grimes and Brandon Williams as the Mavericks beat who, Bobby?
I don't know who they beat. They beat a bunch of guys that I've never heard of for the Pelicans. Boy, it's got to suck to be Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Where Brandon Ingram's like, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to force my way out. Yeah. And then now you are in an awful situation in New Orleans where it's you and a bunch of...
They've lost 11 of 13. No Zion, no CJ McCollum. Everyone hurt.
I don't know who Trey Jameson is. I don't know who Jamal Kane is. These are people playing 20 minutes for them last night. I have no idea who those people are.
Poor WFAA, too. Like, they get like 8 games a year, maybe a dozen games, and they get a 41-point massacre with the other team. You have no idea who's on that team.
Yeah, and a blue court. It doesn't even look like you're playing in Dallas. It's like, where the hell is this? But dude, it's
cup, man.
You know it's a bad basketball team when the opening of the game, the first two buckets are Luka steals the ball and goes down the court and scores.
Yeah, and Jason Kidd wanted to highlight Luka's defense afterwards because it has become a big talking point. He said, he had two steals. Did you see that? Two steals that led to two buckets. And one of the guys that has annihilated Luka as of late is Kevin O'Connor breaking down. This is still in response to what happened at the end of the Utah game.
When you play like this late in games that are close, you don't care. You're not committed. And you're following this up after you've had the most embarrassing defensive performance for a superstar in the finals that I can remember in my lifetime. And then you follow up this season playing like this. I think it's an absolute joke. And I'm really concerned about Dallas right now, as not only as a team, they look like a one-hit wonder to make the finals. Luka looks like a guy that everybody says, oh, eventually he'll win an MVP. I'm not so sure about that, given the amount of star talent that there is in the NBA. Victor just scored 50 this week. Giannis scored 59. Jokic is on a tear. LeBron is still dominant right now, for that matter. Luka, you may never win an MVP, never mind a finals. And this season, you might not even make the playoffs with the way Dallas is playing and the way he's performing.
I do like him listing off, Giannis did this, Wembanyama did this. It's like, okay, well, also, Milwaukee's 5-9 and San Antonio's below. Those are also bad teams.
Yeah. They're also in teams the middle of you talking about,
ooh, is Luke ever going to win an MVP with this one-hit wonder Dallas team? Well, you just listed below 500 teams, but okay.
And, I mean, are they a one-hit? I mean, they went to the West Finals 2 years prior. Right. That's not really a one-hit wonder.
They're at least a two-hit wonder. They're at least Papa sure. Roach.
That's right. Yeah. It's a great point.
The undefeated start for the Cleveland Cavaliers is no more as the Celtics win last night by 3. Cleveland 15-1. The Celtics 12-3.
Precursor to what's going to happen in the playoffs. You know, like when you get to the cup, man, and people start really putting their, you know, getting more energized and, you know, bringing
eyeing
more intensity.
Eyeing that banner.
That's right. They eye that banner. They're going to bring the ruckus. And the Cavs saw what happened there.
I hate this. I hate the IST conversation.
It's the Emirates Cup.
Oh, it's a different. Apparently, I was listening yesterday. Apparently, Sean Heath, who's a great dude, Sean Heath was trying to get the crowd pumped up before the game. It was like, come on, Mavs fans, it's Cup night. Get engaged. Stay on your feet all night.
Michael Irvin, the biggest lobbyist in the NFL and the Metroplex, has come out and said that Deion would take this job. Ooh. The audio. And whether you'd buy in or not, next on the Home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for joining us. Hump Day edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby, Caitlin, and Peyton Russell.
Oh, man.
You look rough.
Do I? I feel rough.
What's going on?
I had something kicked my ass yesterday. I was fine when I woke up.
Certainly wasn't working.
No.
That's for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I went to sleep at like 8 o'clock last night. Went to sleep at 8, got 7.5 hours of sleep, woke up very, very bad. Awful. It's like everything. I just feel weak. I got the chills. Awesome. So
just infect us all.
Yeah.
Well, he's behind glass.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm fine.
May have to sit out tomorrow.
It's not like a thin piece of fabric. This actually protects us.
Stop it, Bob.
Be like Chris Strong, you know, for Commanders and Texans working quick back to back games.
Yeah. We're gonna get 2 good days of board hopping this week. That's a good thing.
So he's gonna do the payload.
How are you as a patient, and how is Mackenzie as a caretaker?
She had all the medicine ready.
Nice.
She said, I'll go find it. And so she gave me NyQuil and zinc yesterday. And now I have DayQuil back here. I'll take it a little bit. But I got all the good stuff. I'll just take it. And, you know, we'll go from there.
And I brought you the Tolo tequila.
You did. Thank you.
Well, thanks to the people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I consider just keeping it in the car. Hold up that nice bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Peyton's not on the fan cam. Never mind. Sorry about
that.
No,
we're trying not to get sick.
That's right. Not to get sick to the camera.
Oh, yeah, it was the repo, huh?
Here we go.
Oh, is that what it is?
The Reposado.
Look at that. Look at that beautiful pink bottle.
It's heavy too, man.
Tolo who brought it.
Shout out to Joel. Joel who brought that up to us at the firehouse.
Thank you, Joel.
That's a piece of art. All right. Michael Irvin is trying to broker the deal. He is the biggest lobbyist in the Metroplex and the National Football League. As Michael the other day said, I spent Saturday with Jerry Jones. I spent Friday night with Jerry Jones. I keep putting the boxing fight on Saturday. I spent Friday with Jerry. I spent Saturday with Dion. I spent Sunday with the Lord praying for question, question, question. Guess what? Then Michael Irvin went on Colin Cowherd.
You do believe, and I do too, that if Shadur went to the Cowboys, Deion would accept the job.
I believe 100%, and I can tell you, good sources have told me that. Great sources have told me that. That's all I can say like that without violating anything else.
So that is Michael strongly implying that Deion Sanders has told him if they draft Shadur, as Colin Cowherd says, if they draft Shadur, Deion would take the job. That's coming from Michael Irvin right there, whose boys obviously with Deion. Deion at his Colorado press conference yesterday was asked about the NFL.
You gonna talk about me going somewhere with my AD in here? Yeah, they mentioned us with a lot of other stuff before we start winning too, didn't they? That wasn't fair, was it? Like, I'm happy where I am, man. I'm good. I got a kickstand down. You know what a kickstand is? A lot of people don't in there and not of age don't know what a kickstand is. That means I'm resting. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic about where I am. I love it here. I truly do. Next question.
Do kids not know what a kickstand is, by the way?
Yeah, they know. My kid's got a kickstand on their bike. Yeah. Or at least one of them does. I don't know about the other one.
I didn't know if kids still, you know, rode bikes or whether it was, you know, electric, sit there and pay for a scooter. I don't know.
They do want an electric scooter.
Do any of us believe Deion?
I don't know that I... yes, I think that's possible. I don't think there's interest in Deion, like everybody keeps pretending like there is. So I don't know that Deion's like gotten in that headspace yet, because I think Deion knows there's not that kind of interest in him.
Because
right now,
Diana Rossini reported it?
No, because in general, I don't think anybody in the NFL right now has really got him on their radar.
And just, why would that be?
Because
why would Deion Sanders not make sense?
For Dallas specifically or the NFL?
Both.
Dallas specifically, I think we've talked about the idea of just... If you're making that hire, you're making it as a shine hire, and that's not what Jerry wants. I don't
Which
think
Bill Belichick would be as well.
Belichick is not pulling people away from Jerry postgame. Deion might. People might choose to go to the Deion presser over the Jerry presser. That's not happening with Belichick. Bill's a bigger figure in terms of his prestige. Bill's not a bigger figure in terms of like standing at the microphone and the cameras on him.
Deion's the face of the organization.
And you both think with certainty that Jerry Jones would heavily factor that in. That would cross someone off a coaching replacement list. I'm not fighting y'all on it right now. That is so depressing as a fan to factor in. That is pathetically depressing.
I don't think he would factor that in. I'm saying if the decision is you're only hiring Deion as a splash attention hire. So okay,
it's not just for that. It's because you think you could win with it.
Deion's not shown anything that tells you that as a coach he would be one of the 32 best coaches in the NFL.
Well, he's a CEO.
He's showing it now.
No, he's not, because he's got a 7-2 Colorado team or whatever they are.
Yeah, because he is led a big time turnaround with the program. And I actually think that Jason Kidd could be Deion Sanders' biggest argument.
Well, look, I mean, I'll tell you this, because you said that it would it be a factor with the face of the franchise thing with Jerry. I don't think it's like just a I think it's the only factor. I think it's the only factor that Jerry looks for in a coach is you can't be a bigger personality than me.
Wow.
I mean, are we talking about like is what Deion's done in there better than Kurt Cignetti? Is he better than Rhett Lashley? Is he better than Mario Cristobal? Like, those are all there are plenty of other instances we can look at and see they've done a great coaching job at a college that would tell you right there, okay, well, those people, like I think it's just Deion's got the prime time. It's loud and it's bright, but it's not. It's not like this expert coaching job. I don't think it's what we're looking at.
Coaching in college is totally different, right? It's like
they've got the Heisman winner too.
Yeah, he's
in a bad conference.
Who he recruited?
It's about recruiting.
I think a large portion of this, if you're talking about Deion Sanders at the pro level, I take it back to Jason Kidd. Yeah. No one accuses Jason Kidd of being this X's and O's genius, right? The number one positive factor for Jason Kidd is managing Luka and Kyrie. Could Deion Sanders walk into an NFL locker room, the Dallas Cowboys locker room, and manage Trayvon Diggs and manage Micah Parsons and tell CeeDee Lamb stop moping around with your body language? That's what I think of with Deion at this level. Mario Cristobal's not doing that. I don't know Mario Cristobal, but you know what I'm saying. Like, yeah, the superstar to star connection, relationship, sure, and management.
That's what Deion is. He's a CEO. I think he'd be a really good CEO. I don't know how he works at the NFL level with, you know, the personalities, because there is, yeah, there is a difference in handling 18 and 19 and 20 year olds, sure, versus 30 year old grown men with, yeah, with families, right? There's a difference. Deion's
not going to be able to talk about his NFL. I don't think he's not going to be able to talk about it. It'd be a Nick Saban and Dolphin situation with more swag.
It would be.
Dude, shut up.
Deion is,
I make more than you,
to these kids, a father figure. You know, he is. He's a second dad to a lot of these kids. And got 30-year-olds in the NFL don't necessarily need that.
Yeah.
Some 18-year-old kids, they need that, right? They want, with your parents send you away to college, they want to send you away to somebody that's going to help you be a better person, be a better athlete, be a better football player, get good grades, all that stuff. Like, they're putting their faith in you.
It's a different headspace. Like when we're talking about the kids at Colorado versus the NFL players. I'm not going to say who, but like, we were at NFL Network, we would always have the Deion post game interview. Remember, you ball, you get, yeah, the call, whatever else. So we have to go in there. It was like hell. And obviously things could have changed in the last couple years with people seeing what he's done at Colorado and Jackson State. It was hell. Do you know how many times I had players tell me, I don't want to talk to Deion? And people mocking the, like, walk by, go, you ball, you get the call. They didn't want to talk to Deion. NFL players, at least a couple years ago, and again, could have changed, a couple years ago, people didn't like Deion in NFL locker rooms.
So choose one to believe, though, for the topic of believing, mm-hmm, Irvin or Deion.
Oh, I believe
Mike.
Deion has more of a reason to lie about it, yeah, than Mike.
I don't believe Deion. Like, Deion to me would sell out to the highest bidder.
I believe,
especially with Shadur.
I believe Deion.
Yeah, what was that?
I believe Deion would take the job, absolutely. But I also think that, he's not going to get it offered, and I think he's a better fit in college.
Colin Cowherd. Speaking of him, he says that Jerry, you need to go back to being the Wildcatter. Get ready to give up a lot of draft picks in Colin's plan.
If I was the Dallas Cowboys, I don't care about Dak's new contract. I would go get Deion Sanders. I would pick Shadur Sanders. If I had to give up Micah Parsons and three firsts, I would do it. You do not get out of bankruptcy putting $13 a month into your 401k. You get out of it with big swings. You start looking at the draft order. You look at Dallas's schedule. The only team they play the rest of the year that's got nothing to play for is the Giants. They got a shot to get the number one pick. They got a real shot. Yes, Dak will be upset if you draft Shadur Sanders. So what? Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson was upset. They moved off him. They're in cap hell. So what? The Denver Broncos are viable. Why? They went and got a great coach, and they went and got a great rookie quarterback. And all of a sudden, Denver's in the playoffs in the better conference. They may not stay there, but they went from cap hell, thin roster, missing draft picks, embarrassing franchise to, is Sean Payton coach of the year? And Bo Nix, is he the best rookie quarterback?
Look, I mean, there is a point to be made that, you know, there is no price that's too high to pay for an elite, good young quarterback. There's no price, and that's very true. And the Kansas City Chiefs would not take 10 first-round picks for Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Right, but you'd be right to offer up 10 first-round picks for him.
Yes.
You would.
Yeah.
So he's right on that, but, like, you know, yeah, do you have to sell the farm? Like no, they're going to be in a position where they don't have to sell the farm to get a top pick.
Well, I looked at that last night. You are going to have to almost lose out because right now they're picking 9. And by my count, 7 of the top 9 drafting teams before you could take quarterback. Jacksonville, no. Tennessee could. Cleveland, yes. The Giants, absolutely. The Raiders, yes. New England, no. The Jets, yes. Carolina, possibly. That's 6, mm-hmm, before I get to you at 9. And Shadur seems to be loving a certain team up here.
He seems to be loving the Raiders because he tweets about every Raiders loss. God is great. That's what he tweeted one day. God is great. Raiders lose. And essentially, at the same time that it was that the Raiders lost, that's when the tweet was posted.
I do agree with, and I used to really like Colin Cowherd. I don't anymore. But I do agree with him on the idea of the huge big swing offseason to totally flip this thing upside down. It's not going to happen because of the Dak deal. You know, it'd be financial suicide. But if they did it, I would not kill him. I would not crush them if Jerry went back to the old wild days of just blowing everything, fireworks everywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
because this is, you're stuck right now.
That's the thing, is that I'm trying to remember. It's difficult to
and imagine signing Deion and you don't get Shador. He gets taken somewhere else. He goes to the Raiders and Deion's fine with it. Of course, he would try to force him here with an Eli type situation. But just imagine
or a Bronny type situation.
That was the league saying he sucks. Take him.
Well, I mean, maybe they'll say the same about Shador. I think that the big move that they could do something this offseason, Dallas could. The problem is that it's like, I don't know that one big move like jumbles it up. I'm trying to remember at the end of 2020 how long-term hopeless it felt coming out of that season for Dallas, like and where we're at, because I think right now the long-term outlook looks worse in terms of, even though you've got more talented players right now than you probably did in 2020, you've got more of them under contract longer, this doesn't feel like something that'll easily just be like, well, as soon as you're healthy next year you'll be better and you'll get a new coach in here. It feels like next year you're still, it feels like you're a couple years and a couple drafts away from getting this fixed.
Yeah, but you have to start with a move.
Yeah.
Sure.
No one's pretending like this is, oh my God, the missing piece. But eventually, right, you have to start with something. You may not be ready to refurnish your entire house, but you still need a couch. 877-881-1053. Michael Irvin saying that Deion Sanders would take the Cowboy job if offered. Around the rest of the NFL, this sounds like the end of Aaron Rodgers in New York and in the NFL, plus Justin Timberlake tickets to hook you up with Around the Corner next on The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.